Today's reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 to 12, and can be found on page 1217 of the Church Bibles. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets, who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing, when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things.
Thanks, Caroline. Interesting few words, those, aren't they? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the power of your book, the Bible. Thank you for the influence it's had on so many thousands over so many years. And we pray today, as we just take a little snapshot look at one part of it, that it will be real to us. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If the Bible only confirms to us, it only confirms us in what we already believe, we're in a dangerous place. We can get PhDs in all sorts of subjects, including theology, but if we simply are looking to the Bible to rubber stamp what we believe, we're in a dangerous place. We must allow the Bible to shift what we already believe. The Bible is a living book. Were you listening a moment ago? These wonderful words. Peter, a fisherman, one that Jesus met, you remember, by the shores of Galilee. He had some help, I think, in writing this letter. Silas, Silvanus, we find, helped him. And people say, oh, this fisherman, how could he write words like this? These are words inspired by God. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And I could go on a bit further on in 1 Peter. They're wonderful words. They're words that clearly are inspirational words, words that came from God. May well be that a learned man like Silvanus helped Peter to put these words down. But these are words of God. We've been looking for the last 6 weeks now at why we should read the Old Testament. I'll keep shouting. If you can't hear at the back, wave hands furiously. We've been looking at why we should read the Old Testament. People always start at the New Testament. If you say, I'd like to read the Bible, what do I do? Do I go to Genesis 1? The answer is no, you're best not to go to Genesis 1. You're better to go probably into one of the Gospels. And therefore, people get stuck in the New Testament. So we said, let's look at the Old Testament. We've broken it down over these last 6 weeks into six chunks. And today is the last chunk at the end of the Old Testament. It's the prophets. So we're going to look firstly at who prophets are, then a little bit of how they came to be appointed, and then we're going to talk about some of the things that they said. Firstly, who is a prophet? Well, depending on which language you look at, and I'm no expert in Greek or Hebrew, a prophet is a messenger, or a prophet is a called one. And so, a messenger, we find in Isaiah chapter 43, a whole chunk of times where Isaiah says, these are the words of the Lord. Listen, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I've chosen, this is what the Lord says. There's half a dozen illustrations just on a couple of pages in Isaiah. A messenger. Isaiah was aware and conscious that he was a messenger of God. This is what the Lord says. Very dangerous thing to say unless you really feel this is what God has to say. Or a called one is the second part of a prophet, one who is called. Some were happy to be called. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Lord, send me. Isaiah was called by God. I heard the voice of the Lord. That's the role of the prophet. Some weren't. In fact, many weren't very happy at all. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. And many of us know the story of Jonah, don't we? Go to the great city of Nineveh, Jonah Groats, if you like, and preach against it. But Jonah ran away from the Lord, and he headed for Land's End. He couldn't have gone further away, if you look at a map. Went down, found a boat, and off he went up there, because God had told him to go there. We won't go into the story of how God brought him back again. That's a story for another day. But Jonah and many other of the prophets were called. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. God called him, but Jonah didn't want to go. And God had to do a little bit of work to get him back again on track. A prophet is one who is a messenger. A prophet is one who is called. There's 15 of the prophets. We have major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and so on. And they're major not because they're more important, but because they're bigger. The major prophets' books, if you look at it in the Bible here, quite great chunks. And then we have the little ones, the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. They are wonderful. I could read the minor prophets all day, every day. We're going to look at a bit of Amos later. It's probably my favourite book in the Bible. Wonderful, wonderful. As God speaks to this ordinary person, very ordinary person, Amos, and he does it to all of these minor prophets as well. So we've got major prophets, we've got minor prophets. There's women. Women, we haven't got a book that's written by a woman, but there are women prophets in the Bible. Miriam, Deborah, we heard about not very long ago. People who are called by God, people who are messengers. All of them are courageous people. And I just picked that. This is because I love Amos. What would you think if you were one of the wealthy, affluent women in Samaria? You ruled the roost. And along comes young Amos and says, hear this word, you cows of Bashan. Bashan was a part of Samaria that was big on animals. And so he sort of said, you know, here we are, this is where all the cows are. How would you feel? You cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria, you women who oppress the poor and crush the needy. And if you want a bit of really good reading, just go home this afternoon and look at the book. It'll take you long to read through it. Wonderful. That takes a bit of courage for a guy like Amos to go crashing in on these women, affluent women of Samaria, who would, of course, have very affluent and very responsible husbands in very responsible jobs. But in goes Amos. Now, that's just one. I picked that because it's a good, lively one. But right the way through the prophets, you've got the prophets speaking, going to kings and telling kings what they should or shouldn't be doing. Very, very courageous men of God. Why read the prophets? Well, Jesus did. We find in Luke's Gospel, number of occasions, Jesus quotes what prophets have said. Paul did. Paul was quite big in going back and saying, this is happening, these are the words of the prophets. Peter did. We've just looked at that a few moments ago in the passage that Caroline read. We need to read the prophets because there's some spectacular prophecies that have already happened. We're going to refer to one or two later. And again, I get very excited when I look at little, well, I'm getting excited already, Micah. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. It's the inspirational message that comes out of the prophets. It can only be a message from God. Why read the prophets? Jesus did, Paul did. There's wonderful prophecies that have already been fulfilled. And these prophecies indicate, I think, the real validity and inspiration of the Bible. If you've just got, even if you haven't got a spare moment, I was going to say if you've got a spare moment, even if you haven't, get hold of a couple of these minor prophecies and just sit and read. It takes very little time. Get a modern translation. Wonderful, wonderful to read through. What was the message of these prophets? Well, firstly, they weren't social reformers or political propagandists. People say, well, yes, that's the sort of message they preach, and it is the sort of message they preach, but that wasn't their role in life. The prophets were messengers of God. They were trusted with his will and purpose. Messengers of God. What did they say? Well, I'm just picking four things out here, which are areas that Simon, in fact, in the little crib sheet notes that were produced, I don't know whether any still around, but when we first looked at the Old Testament and how we might break it down, Simon produced a sheet of how we might approach reading the Old Testament that are on the table at the back. Four points that have come out of the little section here on the prophets. What did they preach? Well, firstly, judgment. What was their message? Judgment. Here I am with my favourite book again. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the Sabbath be ended that we may market wheat, skimping the measure, boosting the price, cheating with dishonest scales? The prophets were those who spoke words of judgment. As I said a few moments ago, very, very courageous people. And why do we need the prophets? Does any of that ring true today? Skimping the measure, boosting the price, cheating, dishonest scales. It's where we are today in so many areas. It's where we are because it's human nature. It's human nature. And along came the prophets, in this case Amos, to really lay into the people of that day, when will the Sabbath be ended that we may market wheat, skimping the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales? The prophets came along fearlessly to preach that gospel, if you like. And it's a gospel we need to be preaching today. We've got enormous work being done at the moment at Joel Edwards, who used to be at the Evangelical Alliance, a great man of God, has now started a thing called the Micah Challenge. And it's there to try and deal with the poverty in the world today, which is enormous. We sit on television the whole time. We're inoculated sitting here in the place that we are. It's not very real to us. But boy, is it real in the world. Skimping the measure, boosting the price, cheating with dishonest scales, the message of the prophet. But on the other hand, a message of comfort. But now, this is what the Lord says. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The reference on the bottom is a leftover from the previous one. This, I'm afraid, is not from Amos, but Isaiah I like as well. These are words from Isaiah. Words of comfort. What were the prophets doing? They were preaching judgment and they were laying into people, but also coming with words of God. They were messengers. And God said to these people, fear not, I've redeemed you, you're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. And so the children of Israel are going through awful times. Words of comfort that came from God via the prophet Isaiah. Why read the prophets? Wonderful words of reassurance. We were singing just a few minutes ago, and it was ringing in my mind because I knew what was coming up here. And we're constantly looking that we will have the comfort, the reassurance of God, that our feet are going to be on firm ground. The prophets, why read them? Because they preached words of comfort. Why read the prophets? Oh, why have we got Amos? I won't make any comment. It's the staff, that's the trouble. Sorry, it's an in-joke. I can't do PowerPoint, so I go into the church office and Peter does these wonderful things for me, but something seems to have gone wrong with this one. A coming saviour. This is, if you were to ask me what my favourite verse in the Bible is, almost, I don't need to look in my notes, it's Micah chapter 5, tiny little prophet. And what does he say? But you, Bethlehem, though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient time. You, Bethlehem, a tiny little place, a little Kingston, if you like, on a world map. And what happens? Along comes Micah and says, you, Bethlehem, though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient time. The prophets spoke, and if you look through them, the whole thread of the prophets is demonstrating the coming of a saviour. They didn't understand what it was that the prophets were trying to preach. They couldn't. But when you look, and we've got the benefit of hindsight, and you trace through the prophets constantly, there's the message of a coming saviour. Why read the prophets? Because they tell of a coming saviour. Oh. Oh, dear. Well, this isn't actually Amos chapter 8. It really is Ezekiel 37. The coming Spirit, the fourth one, judgment, comfort, a saviour, the Spirit. This is a very famous chapter. It's the Valley of Dry Bones. And Ezekiel was taken to a valley and there was bones everywhere, dry bones. And God said, I'm going to revive them. And there was cracking and rumbling around as the bone shook around. And out of it, bones came together and tendons and skin. And until there was people. And then God said, we now need to make real people. We need to get them to breathe. I'll put my spirit in you and you will live. I'll settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. A clear indication, a prophecy there, that the Spirit of God, the breath, those bones are all put together and the sinews and the tendons. There is the rigid body. What do we need? We need breath. And so the prophet, Ezekiel, probably not really understanding what God was saying to him, gave us this great prophecy of the Spirit. Why read the prophets? Well, you've probably got the message. I love them. There's just four things that we come up with. They came with judgment. And we tend to think of them in that mode, the cows of Bashan. They came with words of comfort. The waters won't flow over you. You won't be burned with fire. They came constantly to talk of a coming saviour. And they came to tell us of the coming of the Spirit of God. Living words from those Old Testament prophets. But look, let's get back to where we started. If the Bible only confirmed us in what we already believe, we're in a dangerous place. We must allow the Bible to shift what we already believe. And as you and I look at these words today, as we read the Bible during our own little quiet times in our homes, let's not read the Bible as a book which is going to enable us to get an A-level in theology or a degree in it or anything else. Let's read the Bible as a living book and a book which shifts what we believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your living book. Thank you for the prophets, these great men and women of old. And Father, we ask that we may be influenced, our lives may be changed as we read these inspirational words of yours, words that come from your messengers, words that come from those who are called by you. Father, thank you for giving us these words and help us now that our lives may be changed by them. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.